inspiring solutions to save America one show at a time. Are you ready to get on board?
Who can take your money? The government can, cause they mix it up with lies and make it all taste good. The government takes everything we make to pay for all of their solutions, like healthcare, climate change, pollution. Just throw away the Constitution. I wrote that, thank you. Who can give a bailout? The founding fathers roll over in their grave. I don't care if you hate me, I'm gonna sing it anyway. Oh, the government can.
3 hours of bold truth and excellence. You've just signed up for the WBR Army. Welcome aboard. This is the Wendy Bell Radio Program.
Hey, hey, hour number three of the Wendy Bell Radio Program always starts on the end of the week with one of our favorite people, John Guandolo. He is our national security expert. He's a Marine. He's a dad. He's a former FBI agent. He's been deeply entrenched in government and machinations of security and safety. And he keeps an eye, I think, all the time on the threat in our country from jihadis and communists. And the colors, John, are blurring closer and closer together. Have you seen these Columbia students marching with torches to the president of their university's home demanding, you know, this and that regarding Palestine? What is going on, sir?
Well, good morning, as always. I love spending time on Friday mornings with you, because I think you and Brock and the audience are probably as well as educated as anybody that I know that's trying to do what you're doing, which is sharing the truth. And as we look at these things, and it's interesting what's going on at Columbia University. Again, this is the maturation of decades of work that's been done at Columbia by pro-terrorists, a very pro-terrorist faculty leadership. They've been pro tyranny in the Iranian regime, pro-terrorist in the Iranian regime, pro-Hamas. So they've got the Shia and the Sunni side of that. They're very pro-communist. This is an anti-American institution that allows anything and everything, so long as it's anti-American. Now, if they were to have a massive Christian procession, and let's say a Catholic procession with the Eucharist across campus, I'm sure they'd shut that thing down very quickly. But if you want to talk about Hamas killing Israelis and killing others, and Sharia and pro-Iran, pro-communist, that's the place to be.
Yeah, I saw a video, John. I'm sorry to interrupt you. I saw a video. It was a gentleman. He's obviously some kind of a leader of one of these movements. He's got the beard and the whole nine yards, and he's talking about how we're not interested in assimilating into your culture. We're not interested in your law. We're not interested in your religion. We're not interested in your constitution. We have Sharia. In our world, it's Sharia, and it's going to be that or nothing. That's scary as nuts, John.
Well, so it's interesting. I love that you, without you and I kind of coordinating that, you just teed this up. Back in 2009, when I traveled to England, I was invited to be a part of a major conference there that was at the Defense Academy in Shrivingham in England. And in the room were military leaders, judges, lawyers, police chiefs from across the spectrum. And of the speakers, because the topic was Islam and the counterterrorism, and almost all of the speakers were jihadis, like not just small jihadis, like the leaders of the Muslim Council of Britain, the largest Muslim Brotherhood group in England. and others. And they were allowed and invited to speak at this thing. And one of the, a Pakistani judge, so he's a British citizen, he's Pakistani, and he's a Sharia judge in England, and he said, and I'm going to almost quote him, is that we are not here to assimilate. We are here to coexist until Sharia becomes the law of the land and Islam dominates. And when he said it, I, of course, started looking around the room, expecting people to stand up and tell him to get the hell out or go down there and grab him by the scruff of the collar and throw him at the door. It was nothing. No response. And that's why at that time, after this conference, I met with some of the members of parliament and some former, two former members of parliament, and then a three-star army general, and I told them all the same thing. I said, you're done here. England is done. And of course, their response was, oh, you know, you're an American, you exaggerate it. And I said, no, because you don't even care when someone stands in your country, looks you in the eye, and tells you they're going to conquer you. You have no response. And that's what I'm seeing in America. The vast majority, you and I have talked about this, but it is the timeline keeps shrinking. And it's not shrinking in a linear fashion. It's like a in an exponential fashion down. The timeline here in America is shrinking. You have an overt communist revolution that is being enacted in complete concert with the Islamic movement, and the primary institutions in America, not just the universities, but the components of government have been seized, and American people are walking around with their thumbs up their butts, acting as if everything's just dandy. And I see from the men of America the kind of response I would expect to see from people who are already conquered. I don't see people standing up in the churches. I don't see people standing up in the business community. I don't see people standing up in the citizenry. I see it some once in a while at a school board meeting, but not nearly in the numbers or the frequency that you would expect to see in a society that wants liberty and wants to live, because apparently they don't realize, they talk about it on social media, like this is where this headed, but they're not acting like this is where this heads.
And this is interesting because, you know, we don't even teach American history in school hardly anymore. I mean, a concerted communist effort to get rid of the real story of this country. And how do we expect people then who aren't even understanding where we came from, who know what states there are on the map, how are we expecting them to wrap their minds around something that seems so far away, even though it's right here in their neighborhood? Sharia.
So that's a great point, and it leads me. You know, I just this morning put something out. I texted something out on Twitter, or posted something on X, and it's about the right to revolution. And I'm not calling for a revolution. I'm making a statement. I hear colleagues of mine and friends of mine, and sometimes people that attend, you know, presentations that I do say things like, well, you know, in my state, we're talking about how to, you know, secede and all this. I'm like, well, you don't have a right to secede. As a matter of fact, if you secede, the federal government has an obligation to use force to keep your state from seceding, as it should. But you do have a right to revolution when the leaders, because of the social compact and consent of the governed, which holds our whole system together, mm-hmm. When the leaders don't rule according to the law of nature and law of nature's God, you have a right to revolution. It's specifically stated in the Declaration, and it is an inferred and inherent in the Constitution, because the Constitution can only be understood through the lens of the Declaration. And 35 state constitutions in America specifically articulate the right to revolution in their state constitutions. And I use the example in New Hampshire today when I posted it and took a screen capture of the state constitution, because that's what our system is built on, because it's built on the fact that our rights, regardless of what MSNBC and CNN say, our rights don't come from Congress. They don't come from the Constitution, like most Democrat congressmen say it does. Our rights come from God. And the duty of the government, specifically the federal government, but also the state government, is to secure those liberties that God gave us and to stay out of our business. But the corruption and the communists that are literally leading our institutions, including Columbia, are now in full-blown revolution in the United States, and we don't seem to get that.
They've been flushed out.
Talking about it for a long
they're
time,
flushed out, John. They're on the news every night. I mean, you see it every single day. There's no hiding it anymore.
That's right.
And that's necessary. In fact, it's interesting, John, because when we come back from this short break, what I want to do, I had Brock pull some audio. And it's an amazing example of how brain dead people can get sucked up into a woke cause of leftist do-goodery, which sucks, and not realize that they're being played and conned. And you're going to hear it, and I want your response on the flip side. John Guandolo, our national security expert, my friends. We're going to be back with him momentarily on the Wendy Bell Radio program. Welcome back, my friends. We've got national security expert John Guandolo on the horn with us. John, I want you to hear this. This is in Chicago. This is apparently anti-war protesters, John, in Chicago, learning to chant something very interesting. Here you go.
I can teach you a chant in Persian that you can use if you ever encounter those Zionist freaks, whether they be Iranian or whatever, all right? Now, I don't drink margaritas. But we all know what a margarita is. We all know what a bar is. So you're going to say, Marg bar.
Marg bar.
Marg bar Israel.
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 Thank you.
What does that mean? What does that mean, they say? But wait, John, hold on.
So, It has two meanings, depending on the. It can mean death to or down with. Okay. So
can we get a Mark Bar America?
We can get a Mark Bar America. Yes, we can. Mark Bar America.
Mark Bar America.
Mark Bar America.
Mark Bar America.
Thank you.
That's my face blowing off, John, because you know exactly what he's saying in Farsi.
Yeah, that's death to America.
Death.
And that's what.
Death
That's
to America. And these people are in there in Chicago laughing and clapping. It's the same thing as you said about your story in England. What the hell is it going to take for these people to wake up? Or will some people simply not be saved?
No, they'll be killed. I mean, this is, I think there don't seem to be enough adults in the room. I don't see in the governmental leadership, I mean, I'm not even going to talk about the Democrat leadership. That's the Communist Party. If you are still if you're an American, meaning you believe in the Declaration, the Constitution, you believe our rights come from God, you're an American. And if you're not an American, like the woman on MSNBC who said, you know, the white nationalists, the difference between them and real Christians, white nationalist Christians, is that white nationalist Christians believe your rights come from God. Well, right, because that's what America's all about. So she's an anti-American. And we need leadership and we need truth. We need people speaking truth. And you don't need to speak truth with anger and hate, but you need to speak truth. And the truth is the Democrat Party is the Communist Party of America. They're one and the same. That's it. If you still don't get that, or it makes you angry when I say it, that's really tough crap. That's your problem. Because the reality is that's what it is. If you think the Republican leadership is still fighting for liberty, then you're just wrong. And you don't seem to have a clue.
Correct.
They're going to keep holding hearings. They're going to keep pretending. And so if you think all these guys, Rand Paul and Jim Jordan, these are all great guys, what have they done in the last 2 years? And the answer is nothing. Not a damn thing. They hold hearings. They make fun of people for 4 or 5 minutes. They attack them, great. And then those people walk out,
yes.
And they keep doing the same thing that they've been doing,
yes.
Which is undermining and destroying America, waging war in America. That's the first part. But the real thing I want to say about what you just saw in there is what we are experiencing. I'm going to say this again, but I really want to put a very sharp point on this, sharp tip on this point. This is not stirring up of merely some grassroots American, anti-American movement. This is the full-on assault of foreign powers exercising control in America, waging war against America, with the direct aid and assistance of federal, state, and in some cases, local government officials. And when you have police in places like San Francisco and Chicago and Washington, D.C. and New York and Charlotte and other places across America who allow these people to do what they're doing in furtherance of a coordinated effort, then those police are criminally negligent at the nicest end and tyrants at the other end because they're violating their oath of office. Their duty isn't to their police chief. Well, we're just doing what we're told. Well, that's what the Nazi gate guards at Auschwitz said. You're supposed to adhere to the Constitution, which means you should drag those people off the street and lock them up. And if your boss doesn't like it, force him to fire you for enforcing the law of your state. That's what has to happen here. But the police aren't doing it. So who runs the Islamic movement in the United States primarily? Turkey does. You and I have talked about this. Erdogan of Turkey has officially been handed the reins of the U.S. Islamic movement, the Sunni movement. And then, of course, Iran running the Shia movement in the United States. Those are hostile foreign powers. Who's running the communist movement? Well, where does BLM tell us? We have the audio. We have the video. They're coordinating with Asians for Black Lives and the Chinese Progressive Association, working directly with Communist Party officials in the Chinese consulates in the United States. That's a hostile foreign power. Who is Mr. Biden working with? Communist China, the Ukraine, to undermine the U.S. government, working with Ukrainian intelligence officials, just like Mr. Obama and Mrs. Clinton did, Ukrainian security services, Ukrainian politicians to undermine the 2016 election.
And I should say, by the way, this is what Donald Trump was talking about on that phone call with Vladimir Zelensky that he got impeached for. You're not allowed to ask questions, John. John Guandola, ladies and gentlemen, our national security expert. Thank you, sir. Have a great weekend. For you guys at home, do not go anywhere because when we come back, not only do we have good news, which is apparently supposed to be fantastic, but I will say this to you. Mayor Karen Bass in Los Angeles has destroyed, thanks to the sanctuary status, my home city. And it makes me angry. Next. You know, in the world of Democrats suck, there are so many people in the race to the bottom. I'm going to go with the Democrat mayor of Los Angeles, Karen Bass. She's got to be a top front runner. Got to be. Doesn't get a lot of play because we got Eric Adams, who just sucks, right? You got that guy in Denver. He's terrible. We don't talk about this woman a lot. But she wants wealthy residents in Los Angeles. She wants wealthy Angelenos to buy housing for the homeless people in LA. The people who are demonized for not ever paying their fair share, who pay more than 70% of Los Angeles taxes. The wealthy. They're the ones who keep everything going. Well, we want them more. We need them to do a little bit more because we suck at running a city. That's what Karen Bass should say. I, Karen Bass, do solemnly suck and will and lie to you and tell you we're going to do a bunch of stuff to get the homeless people off the street. We're just going to get a lot of your tax money and we're going to do nothing about it. And then we're going to come back and say, oh, it's a bigger problem than we thought. We really need rich people's help. Hey, Karen, suck it. Cities around the country dealing with a homelessness problem that has exploded in recent years. In Los Angeles, the problem is so severe with thousands upon thousands of people living in tents on the sidewalks. My son lives there. He tells me, Mom, oh my gosh. Democrat Mayor Karen Bass has an idea. for solving the city's problem. She wants wealthy residents to buy housing for the homeless. Good luck with that, Kerr. Good luck. Does she really think that Hollywood liberals like Rob Reiner, right? Rob Reiner are going to put their money where their mouths are? Of course not. So on Monday, she urged wealthy constituents to buy housing, to buy housing for homeless people in the city. Is that the dumbest thing you've ever heard? Well, at least in the last several moments, maybe. She made the remarks as she announced the LA for LA campaign. It should really be the you voted us in and we suck campaign. That's what it is. Aimed at creating housing for the city's growing homeless population. According to the LA Times, over 45,000 homeless people live in the city. Right? So far, Bass's Inside Safe program. Why do we have to have names? Don't do names. Just take action. Be outside the box thinking. Do one of something that doesn't cost taxpayers more money. The Inside Safe program has moved over 21,000 homeless people into temporary housing. Who believes that? Who's supposed to be magic? It stops with you. You get the vaccine. You don't get sick. You don't give it to anybody else. You really believe that 21,000 homeless people are off the streets because of this woman? Hell no. In fact, which we found very interesting, this report called Common Sense. Huh. If you've watched my show on Newsmax on the weekend, Common Sense. If only we could get some of it. This is from Fox. I want you to hear what they're saying as they're blowing the lid off of Karen Bass, blowing a hell of a lot of money with no receipts. Listen.
Well, the Fox News Tonight Common Sense Department is watching the mayor of Los Angeles abandon a major campaign promise. 2 years ago, Karen Bass told voters if they put her in office, she would solve homelessness. Now she's in office and she wants the voters to solve homelessness. Mostly the rich voters, mind you. The ones Mayor Bass calls the, quote, most fortunate Angelenos. So she is asking the same people who pay 70% of the taxes to donate a bunch of money to help the city acquire more properties to house the homeless. Common Sense would like to point out that homelessness in Los Angeles isn't just creeping up, it's dashing up,
wow,
increasing 80% from 2015 to 2022. And that's likely an estimate because, in case you did not hear, California is not really great at bookkeeping. In the past 5 years, the state spent $24 billion on homelessness only to see the problem get worse. And nobody knows where the $24 billion went. So when the rich donate this money to acquire these properties in Los Angeles where a one-bed, one-bath house is $1.5 million, what happens then? Who pays the taxes, the upkeep, utilities? Is L.A. going to foot the bill? Or is this an annual pickpocket of the most fortunate? By the way, the new program is called L.A. for L.A. Common Sense thinks IOU for L-O-L might be a bit more appropriate.
I don't disagree. It was a quick 130 telling you exactly what's going on. Did you guys catch that digit, though, he dropped? $24 billion over the last 5 years. Do you know what that works out to be? Because I did the math. 1,825 days. That is every single day, LA taxpayers forking over and Karen Bass and her administration squandering $13,150,000 every single day. And we are surprised that people are homeless. Right. Ladies and gentlemen, do you know what time it is?
I need some good.
All right, this is an important part of the week. We have to wrap you up in a bow before we let you go for the week. And one of the two good news stories today is very sweet. It's about a story. It's a man whose instinct made him an instant hero. And you'll see why. Go.
In a TikTok now seen by almost 3 million people, local mom Asia Davis says that she has started a search for a man who she says saved her son's life at a Cleveland Monsters hockey game. So she's turned to the internet with hopes to properly thank the selfless stranger.
I need your help finding someone.
this man right here.
In a TikTok that now has over 2 million views, a local mom asked the community for help, finding a man who stopped a puck from hitting her son at a Cleveland Monsters hockey game. The moment captured on camera as she films the game.
This dude literally saved my son's life.
And it took less than a day for the Cleveland Monsters to reunite the three of them, bringing Asia, Nasir, and Andrew on the ice for a VIP puck drop.
Nasir, drop that puck!
Andrew Podolik, the man who stopped the puck, told NBC News it was simply just his first instinct to block the puck.
And he was like, I was meant to be here, and he was.
Wow.
Wow.
Right?
Wow.
No, that's awesome. And those things, I mean, I'm sure you've been to a hockey game. Mm-hmm. They're going fast, and to have that kind of bravery and that instinct, that just makes me think it was like a guardian angel, right place, right time.
Yeah, I like that. I love the story, of course, of the dad holding the baby and the bear who catches the foul ball as well. I mean, that's a good instinct, too. I'm down with that. That's sweet. This next good news, though, I think Brock likes very much. We're going to watch it together, okay, for the first time. It's my boyfriend, Steve Hartman from CBS, talking about a little boy doing the right thing. Enjoy.
Here at the Ohio Air National Guard Base near Toledo.
This is the 180th Fighter Wing.
Lieutenant Colonel Frank Daly couldn't believe the honor bestowed upon him.
It's incredible being recognized in such a manner.
It happened at a Cracker Barrel, of all places. As the security camera shows, Lieutenant Colonel Daly entered the restaurant for an early lunch. At about the same time, 8-year-old Miles Eckert came in with his family. Miles, in the green hoodie, was very excited. He just found a $20 bill in the parking lot.
Just sitting there?
Yeah.
Did you start thinking of what you could spend it on?
I kind of wanted to get a video game, but then I decided not to.
He changed his mind when he saw that guy in uniform.
Because he was a soldier, and soldiers remind me of my dad.
And so, with his dad in mind, Miles wrapped the 20 in a note that read, "Dear soldier, my dad was a soldier. He's in heaven now. I found this $20 in the parking lot when we got here. We like to pay it forward in my family. It's your lucky day. Thank you for your service. Signed, Miles Eckert, a Gold Star kid." Army Sergeant Andy Eckert was killed in Iraq just 5 weeks after Miles was born. All the kid has ever had are pictures and dog tags.
This is his wedding ring.
Other people's memories and his own imagination.
I imagined him as a really nice person and somebody that would be really fun.
The dad he imagines must also love a good story. Because after lunch that day, Miles asked his mom, Tiffany, to make one more stop.
Excellent.
He wanted to go see his dad. And he wanted to go by himself that day.
She took this picture from the car. Follow the footsteps and you'll see Miles standing there behind the flag, presumably telling his dad all about it. And whether heaven heard him or not, his good deed continues to impress here on earth.
You've read it more than once?
I look at it every day.
Kid gave you a bigger gift than $20.
A lifetime direction, for sure.
Lieutenant Colonel Daly says he's already given away the 20 and plans to do much more. He also hopes that little green post-it will inspire other people across the country to give as sincerely and dutifully as this father and son.
It's been a decade since we first told that story, and Miles Eckert is here with us now. Hello, Miles.
Good morning. It's great to be here.
Safe to say you don't regret passing up that video game?
I do not regret passing up the video game. I think being altruistic is like a reward for yourself.
Did it pay off for you?
It did a lot. I met a lot of amazing people, like your family, tons of friends I've made. It's really had an amazing impact on my life.
That $20 that you gave the man in uniform, that multiplied, didn't it?
I think we raised somewhere around $2 million.
For Gold Star Charities, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, as Miles just showed us, the emotional rewards can be tremendous. And eventually, happiness will find you.
Oh my gosh. I'm a freaking hot mess. Holy cow. All right, I'm going to go get my crap together. Bad Joke Friday on tap next on the Wendy Bell Radio program. Brooke's giving me some Megadeth to snap me out of my freaking hot mess, wet face. Good Lord. Oh, it's a very sweet, good news story. I love that. All right, you guys know what time it is now. Uh-huh.
Ladies and gentlemen, I just flew in from New York and boy, my arm's tired. I'm joking, of course. Anywho, welcome to the Comedy Club. Won't you give it up to Wendy and Brock for Bad Joke Friday?
All right, we begin. If you're new, we do not read these in advance. These come from you, and they're supposed to be dumb. So if they're terrible, good, we've done our job. First joke is from Dr. Richard Rafferty from the Disc Institute of Pittsburgh. Here you go. A blonde is sitting at her desk. She's crying as her boss walks by. He asks her if everything's all right, and through her tears, she says, "No, I just got a phone call that my mom passed away." Boss says, "That's terrible. You should not be here. You need to go home." The blonde says, "Well, I think it would be better off to stay here. I think it will help to keep my mind off of all this stuff." The boss says, "Okay, that's fine. But feel free to go home if you change your mind." A little while later, the boss decides he's going to go check on her. He walks up to her desk and sees her crying uncontrollably. He says, "Oh my gosh, are you okay?" The blonde says, "No, I just got another phone call. It was horrible news. It was just my sister. She said her mother just died too."
Oh my goodness.
Poor, it's a good
poor
blonde.
Poor blonde.
There's nothing about me that's ever been blonde, so I don't know, but I agree with you. Poor blondes. All right, what do you have, Brock?
Why did the chicken cross the road?
Oh gosh. Which time this time?
Okay. To prove the possum that it could be done. That wasn't funny.
It was funny.
No, it wasn't.
They're always dead on the road. Why do seagulls fly over the ocean? Because if they flew over the bay, they would be bagels.
Oh, my God. I heard a five-year-old tell that joke.
Well,
I got fired from my job at the bank today. An old lady asked me to check her balance, so I pushed her over.
I know a lot of jokes about retired people, but none of them work. Oh.
What's the difference between beer nuts and deer nuts? Oh my God. Deer nuts are under a buck. That shouldn't be so funny.
I told my doctor I heard buzzing, but he says it's just a bug going around.
Oh, God.
I know.
How many cubic feet of dirt is in a hole 3 foot wide by 3 foot deep?
Not nine, I would imagine.
None. Otherwise, it wouldn't be a hole.
Oh. I hate people who do that. After my dog ate my pronouns, he, she, it, everywhere.
That's actually funny. That's I don't understand why people hate the word moist. It's a perfectly good word. We need that word. Why? Because nobody wants to eat damp cake.
It's the only reason it should ever be used. Two men are on a golf course, but there are two women up ahead of them who are playing very slowly. Oh, I hate that. After a half hour or so of this, the first man says, "I'll go ask these two ladies if we can play through," and starts walking towards them. Moment later, he comes rushing back and says to his buddy, "Oh my gosh, that was a close one. When I got a little closer, I saw that one of those women is my wife and the other one is my mistress. It's a good thing neither one of them saw me." So the second guy heads over to talk to the two women, but a moment later, he too comes rushing back and says, "Small world, isn't it?"
Oh, jeez. My girlfriend broke up with me when she found out I only had 9 toes.
Oh.
She was lactose intolerant.
That's so dumb. A bald man with a wooden leg gets invited to a Halloween party. He doesn't know what costume to wear to hide his head and his leg. So he writes to a costume company to explain his problem. A few days later, he gets a parcel with the following note. "Dear sir, please find enclosed a pirate's outfit. This spotted handkerchief will cover your bald head. And with your wooden leg, you'll just be fit right in as a pirate. Very truly yours, Acme Costume Company." The man thinks this is a terrible, terrible idea because they've emphasized his wooden leg. And so he writes a letter of complaint. A week goes by, he receives another parcel and a note which says, "Dear sir, please find enclosed a monk's costume. The very long robe will cover your wooden leg and you really will look the part. Very truly yours, Acme Costume Company." Now the man's really upset since they've gone from emphasizing his wooden leg to emphasizing his bald head again. So again, he writes the company another nasty letter of complaint. Next day, he gets a small parcel with a note which reads, "Dear sir, we have tried our very best. Please find enclosed a bottle of molasses and a bag of crushed nuts. Pour the molasses over your bald head, pat on crushed nuts, stick your wooden leg up your butt and go as a caramel apple. Very truly yours, Acme Costume Company." That was worth it.
I started a business building boats in my attic. Sales are through the roof.
What's the difference between a leftist journalist and a bucket of BS? The bucket.
I have a joke about roofs, but it will go over your head.
Have you heard about the famous farmer? He was outstanding in his field. Oh,
I just flew back from a ravioli convention. Boy, are these arms tired.
I hated that stuff. Who brings water to the baseball game? The pitcher.
Charles Dickens walks into a bar and orders a martini. The bartender says, "Oliver Twist."
Oh, my God. Really? How do you get Pikachu on a bus? You Pokemon. Pokemon.
I don't get it. Did you hear about the dating site for retired chemists? It's called Carbon Dating.
Why couldn't the bad sailor learn the alphabet? He always got stuck at sea.
When is the best time to go to the dentist?
Oh, I don't know.
Tooth hurty.
Oh, I knew that. That's so annoying. All right, this is, hopefully I'll get through this. A boss is interviewing a potential candidate for a job. The boss asks him, "What do you think is your worst quality?" Guy replies, "Probably too honest." Boss says, "That's not a bad thing. I think being honest is a good quality." "Good," the candidate answered, "because I don't care what you think." There you go. That was really stupid. Brock.
I thought that was funny. How does a hippie polygamist count his wives? One Mrs. Hippie, two Mississippi, three Mrs. Hippie.
All right, and finally, what three candies will you find in every office building? Nerds, dum-dums, and Smarties. I know. Whatever. Love you guys. Thanks for being a part of the program. We appreciate you. Have a great weekend. Peace.